Oh God.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Hey, Nick, we kind of have like matching or like similar themed shirts today.
Yeah, we're space dudes. Right? This is planned? No.
No.
Well, if it were planned, I would have. No, I probably wouldn't have done it anyway.
I don't know. You showed up with a turtleneck that one time.
That's true. I did do that.
Yeah.
It was a inadvertent turtleneck party at Sean's place. That's
I don't think it was inadvertent.
Yeah. No, it was vertent. You're right.
Yeah. It was just at Sean's expense. Yeah.
I don't really see how it's at my expense. I like turtlenecks. In fact, I went and put one on after you guys got here.
That's true.
Aww.
It was a slow burn, though.
Yeah. Everyone just sort of slowly showed up with turtlenecks to this cocktail party that Sean was throwing.
And then when Nick showed up, I'm like, you did this.
Fantastic.
Weird pranks.
Turtlenecks and chains. It's good.
Yeah.
Good combo.
So, yeah, we don't probably have to do too much, you know, getting to know you stuff.
I say whatever the fuck I want to say.
Fantastic. You're
That's
gonna
my
be
brand.
Just fine.
Yeah.
Right.
All butt stuff.
Yeah, butt stuff only.
This is actually just my agenda for the night. It's just I'm only here for the butt stuff today.
I mean, we're going to talk about
try not
Mandy,
to disappoint.
So.
Ooh, yeah. I mean, I don't know how much butt stuff was going on in there, but definitely some.
That one guy was definitely murdered by butt stuff.
There was definitely
Yeah, there was murder by butt stuff.
Yes.
That's true. That's true. A butt got real fucked.
It got stuffed. It was butt stuffed.
Ah.
God, now I just don't want to talk about mom and dad.
Do we just roll into it?
Generally speaking, we trip ourselves over things until we suddenly get started.
Oh, I see.
Usually by Sean making a good attempt at a segue.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm glad attempt. You admit it.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it now.
Good.
Yeah, good. Then we aren't going to start.
Good.
Thanks.
Welcome back to Cage Match, colon, a roundabout way of meeting Nicolas Cage. I'm your host, Sean, here with my co-host.
I'm Nick.
And our producer.
Peter, hello.
And special guest this week. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell the people what it is you do?
My name's Brian Kim McCormick, and I'm an actor, and produce all the things that you do in entertainment. So I've written, I've directed, I've edited, I've raised money. So jack of all trades, I guess, or starving artist. No, I'm not starving. So I'll just stick with artist. So I managed to get that far. So
were you starving at one point?
No, I've been pretty blessed actually. I went to school to be a doctor or criminal profiler for the CIA and then pivoted into musical theater because that's
do.
What you do.
Your parents proud and of you?
Very. Actually,
oh,
they were,
great.
They just, you know, well, actually, you know, now they're very proud in their old age. All they care about is like, oh, we get to see you in things or this, you know, aww. They're very popular in their retirement community. Because they can brag about me. So I'm glad I could bring that to them. But no, I was a major hustler in my 20s. And so I was acting at night and then overnights working in like a hospital. And then I was also a semi-pro gambler for a large period of time.
We've had weird amount of those on the show.
Two is a weird amount.
Yeah.
Yeah. When talking about Nicolas Cage,
you got to meet our Atlantic City boys.
Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah. Hey, when my 10 years in New York, I spent a fair amount of time in Atlantic City. I love AC.
I see you might know them already.
What was your game of choice?
I am a Texas Hold'em player.
Okay.
No one ever says Baccarat.
I'm not, but I'd be willing to learn. You know, it's just it. A lot of these games cost a lot of money to learn. So you know, I paid my dues, I think, in poker with learning and losing money. And I still lose money, but I don't think as badly anymore. I do manage to make a little. So
I think Baccarat's pretty easy, isn't it? Like two cards, whoever's closest to nine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you make money or lose money.
Well, if it's at a casino, chances are they're going to be losing money.
So, Brian, well, Sean is going and getting his dog free.
Yes.
What is your relationship to our lovely Nicolas Cage?
I guess a fan for sure. I mean, he has quite the career. And, you know, I think these two movies are a great example of what I think he has evolved into. You know, I mean, I think my first real introduction to him was probably Raising Arizona, and then maybe again with like Con Air, and then just popping up everywhere. And then, you know, it never like, I guess I was never a super fan. I'll say that. Like, I enjoy his movies, I enjoy his work, but I'm never necessarily seeking out a Nicolas Cage movie. Although now he's pivoted into this weird horror action thriller side of his career, and that's, horror is my favorite genre. So that is, I you know, if he's in a horror something, I will watch it. I can't imagine him doing much of like a romantic comedy that I would be like, yes, I need to see Nicolas Cage woo somebody. But kill somebody, yes.
We need more romantic comedies with 60-year-old men in them.
Yeah. Right?
And Rosa Stein. Bring back Rosie Perez.
Yeah,
he did kind of have that everyman like romantic lead for a minute.
Yeah.
But speaking of the horror stuff, he's got a new movie coming out soon, Arcadian, and it's so far like rating pretty well. Like, people dig it. So that's awesome. I'm excited to get a chance to go see that at some point soon. So we'll have some fresh content for everyone.
Yay.
Versus this old stage shit. 2017 and 2018, get fucked.
Yeah. These are classic though. I mean, I enjoy Mom and Dad, actually. It's for, well, most of it.
Let's do it.
Is your beef with it the ending or lack thereof?
Sure. I mean, here's my, for both of them, honestly, I'll put them in like a little lowercase H horror. I think they do fall in the category of the greater sphere of it, but I wouldn't necessarily call it classic by any means. Mandy a little bit more so, but we'll get into that. But I think for me, the biggest pet peeve I have with Mom and Dad is that it's only an hour and 20 minutes, but it feels like an hour 45, and it ramps up really well. Like, I love the premise. I mean, who, you know, it really builds nicely, but as soon as we start focusing on the main family, all the stakes are gone, because the kids are never really in danger. And
unless you're the black kid.
Well, okay. So, well, I was going to bring that up too. It's like the keeping true to horror, like the worst things were happening to the minorities in the movie. But kids also, like the little boy, the daughter, for being such kind of a bitchy teenager, like, who knew it all, she sure as hell didn't know what the hell was going on. When kind of the signs were, you know, there was enough information for her to piece together that her parents are crazy. She needs to get her ass into her house, rip her brother out of the house, and get the fuck out of there. But no, she's like, I'm going to talk to you under the bed, and we're going to sue. Like, you don't got time for that. And then he just ruins everything because he's like, Mom, Dad, is it really you? So all of those pet peeves. But, you know, getting up into it. It started out as a very promising movie, I think.
It's a fine time for all those kids who wanted a new dad to just move out and get a new dad. Yeah. And it'd be fine, because old dad wants to kill you.
Yeah, new dad doesn't want to kill you at all.
Right.
They're probably fucking chill as hell with you.
Yeah, you don't even have to blackmail old dad to get out of that relationship. You can just leave.
You just swap.
A little family swap action.
Exactly. And then they started actually like crossing their own rules in their world building, that was getting, like, how much violence they were showing to the black kid. Like, when he first got home, either he was drunk and all the things and he just hates black people and definitely not him to be his daughter's boyfriend, or he's already breaking the rule for trying to knock him unconscious as a priority instead of going after his daughter.
God, that big fucking meat hand that bounces his head off the ground. That was gnarly, man.
Yeah.
I remember Peter and I watched this last night, and going back into it, I was just like, you know, I really wanted this movie to go a bit harder with the violence. And then when that scene happens, I'm like, nope, never mind. This movie does go kind of hard at times.
My concern with the violence in this is that every time they have a good, like, action scene or like something like really tense or building is happening, they cut away to some like fucking yogurt story 10 yes! years ago. And it's like, come on, just fucking stay with the movie.
Yeah.
I didn't need to know that Josh hit a fucking dead bird in his dad's T-bird or whatever.
Well, also those weird flashbacks, I think they could have worked if they would have like put them in relevant points in the story.
Agreed.
Like when the kid like runs into the car to like run away from his dad. Do it then.
Why the fuck did the kid start the car and then just get out?
I wondered that too.
Fucking Josh, man. God damn it.
So many things. Again, because he's a dumb kid. He's the one who was like, oh, they must be okay. Like, if it wasn't for his sister, he would undo their restraints at the end of the movie. And what do we think happened? I mean, they have to just rot.
They dragged the parents into the basement, tied them up, and then sat there waiting for them to wake up when they could have just left or called the police, because the cops weren't going to kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally no one else is going to kill you. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
It's unless those two you're fuckers.
A minority.
Well, right. Yeah.
I mean, the cards were stacked against him anyway.
Yeah. Why was that lady so concerned with the kid leaving the PSATs? Like, you got more time. This is really going to affect your life. It's like, no, it's the fucking PSATs.
Right. And that's the thing, actually, I felt bad about. I felt weird about, too, is that, you know, he's trying to be set up as this character who's the smart one. He texts, you know, I crushed this test. And then what did he say? He said there was some word he used. And I was like, I don't think that's a real word. I think if you put that on the PSAT, you would have failed. I think it was like hugest. Or something. He used some huger. He used some weird word. And then again, if he's going to be the brains of the show, the movie, then like it seemed he was only literally there to be the punching bag. Like anytime there needed to be violence, instead of hitting the daughter, they were like, let's just hit the black man. Which in 2017 maybe didn't sit as bad as now. It's like, that's a little weird.
A little bit worse now.
We're still figuring things out back then.
Yeah,
now
right?
We know it's
exactly.
Okay to punch your daughter. It's fine.
But I think the most horrific scene in the movie, though, was after the sister gives birth and whether or not she was going to kill that baby. And that was the line where I was like, where is this movie? Is it going to cross it? Is it going to go there and be really fucked up? Or is it going
to
stay
perfect
tame?
Perfect opportunity to bite its head off. Just go Ozzy Osbourne on it and just like bite it in half.
I do want to say though, Nick, you did bring up a good point about him being able to hit his daughter in this movie. She did try and light him on fire.
That's true.
So by our own rules, he gets one punch.
Yeah, one punch. So that's fair.
For your context, Brian, with the Wicker Man, we decided that if someone is trying to light you on fire,
then you can
regardless of gender, you can punch them no matter what.
You get one sucker punch. Yeah.
But even that fire, like, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe I don't know how gas works enough, but based on the way and how much gas had filled that basement after it was lit, I think it would be a much bigger explosion and also have gone back through the hose and wherever the main source and just... that was like a gentle like fart lit on fire and blew him across the room.
I mean, if we
want to
get technical,
stuck some Skittles.
Honestly, it probably would not have ignited.
Oh,
it's a very specific like
you've got a backdraft situation where the door is introducing oxygen, and so you do have the gas fuel.
Okay,
oxygen.
Because I've been watching a lot of MythBusters.
Oh, I burn a lot of things,
and like stoichiometry is a thing.
Yeah. Well, it is convenient that he like struck the matches and then just held the door open and then, you know, allowed the matches to be able to catch nicely.
I liked the idea of that trap, though. Yeah. That was a pretty cool
concept. It was a good trap,
It was her best idea of the entire movie. She finally proved her worth.
This movie needed to home alone a bit harder.
Yes! And that would have been great. A little bit of like comedy in it. Like, put the parents to the ringers. That would have been fun.
I think this movie just had, like, three ideas, and that's, like, where they left it. It's like, oh, man, we'll have parents attacking children. Okay, I like it. And at one point, we're going to have, like, a Sawzall, and we'll say it Sawzall. It's like, okay, you're a new homeowner. You just discovered this tool. Yeah, write it into the movie. That's fine. And we'll punch a black kid. Okay. We got ourselves a film. Let's green light this. This is terrible.
I mean, it is from the guy who made Crank. Like, you,
it does feel like the, from the guy who made
it
Crank.
It feels like.
Also, yeah, Ghost Crank Rider, Spirit awesome. Of Vengeance.
And Spirit of Vengeance, you're right. A movie that I think fucking rules.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is really like a low point in that director's career.
Yeah.
I mean, it was entertaining. I had fun up till maybe like the last 20 minutes.
I do love the director's like frenetic, like, energy when it comes to action and chasing, like, mm-hmm. that's all fun to watch.
And like the payoff of the grandparents coming over is pretty yes good.
Yeah,
that is,
that was
yes.
a fun, delightful, stupid
that's
piece of the entire movie.
My favorite part of the movie is just the old man getting like weird war story ish yeah. over like stabbing his kid.
But that is another situation where the rules are broken because the yes. mother-in-law tries to kill Kendall.
Exactly.
That's a stripper name.
Unless this is just how she is, and she's always hated Kendall, yeah. and like, you're not good enough for my son, you whore.
That I'm trying to kill.
My special
that I'm trying to kill.
Boy, Brent.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Brent, what a
weird.
Terrible name.
Brent is a shitty name. Brent and Kendall.
Brent and Kendall.
Have it's you like Barbie known many Ken. Brents?
I have known 3 Brents, actually, which is really
maybe
like
one.
Too many Brents.
I think I've known 2.
I have a friend named Brett who everyone thinks is named Brent.
I would change my fucking name if I was named Brett and everyone called me Brent. That's horrible. Like, both are bad names. Sorry, Brett.
Brett doesn't listen to this.
Good. No Bretts listen to this.
This is Brett-free airwaves
podcast.
I mean, I grew up in Minnesota, so we were against Brett all the
yeah.
The
we're calling it now. We're an anti-Brett podcast. Yeah. Anti-Brett, anti-Brent.
If it sounds like you play lacrosse, get the fuck yeah, out of our podcast. We're not into this.
You're out of here, Mackenzie.
That applies to male Mackenzies, male Kenzies.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Male Kenzies.
Clarification. Yeah.
Lady Mackenzies can listen if they like.
Yeah, that's fine. Lady Lacrosse, you're cool.
Yeah.
You can listen to this podcast, but you won't.
That does fit my type.
My feeling on this movie is that it was way more fun than it deserves to be. It is not a good movie, but it is kind of a delight.
I think that's a credit to your actors in it. Like, without Nicholas or even her, I mean, they were both great together. Mm-hmm. I would have watched them and could have cared less about the kids. I mean, if they wanted to kill the kids from the start and just deal with, oh, we just killed our kids, now what do? That would have been okay to me, too.
Was it weird to anyone else that, like, they never establish him as being, like, a great father? They always establish him as being kind of unhinged. So,
yeah,
the weird event doesn't seem to matter.
It's just like he kind of woke up one day and was like, I'm gonna go with the flow today. Let's see what the people are doing.
Yeah.
Oh, we're killing kids today.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Perfect. I've been thinking about this.
Maybe I could knock off one or two more that are just not on the list.
Where do you think the signal started? Who's attacking us?
I just like the fact that that's a part of it is just upsetting to me. I'm like, why is that even there? Just have them start killing people.
I just needed this movie to have like 2 more months in the writing room.
Mm-hmm.
This needed to be developed so much more for me. Like, I watch it and I'm just like, why is that happening? Why is that mm-hmm. happening? There's not even like an attempt at it. This movie bothers me. And I had to review or revisit like why it went forward, and it's because it was going up against Next or something.
Yeah, and no amount of exploding Jessica Biels would save Next.
I don't know. I now that I've watched Mom and Dad again, I kind of think I should have gone back in time.
No. This is worth talking about. It's enjoyable.
It's a struggle for me, but it's not horror enough or comedy enough for me.
True.
I think is my problem. It's like True. Everything just falls a little short. There's moments I enjoyed for sure. I liked the grandparents. I liked when the mom gave birth and then she stands up and the umbilical cord's just dragging on the
yeah.
ground.
Yeah, that was gnarly.
That was pretty gross. Gnarly. I'm sad they didn't bite the umbilical cord to get it away fast enough. Like, oh, but I think I just want more biting in this.
There's a couple bites.
There was some biting.
Because the daughter bites Kendall.
Yeah, which was
on
nice.
Her gunshot wound, which, damn.
I did. I did Rolf. Appreciate the use of a hanger as a weapon by the mom.
Yeah.
That was pretty
And how
gnarly.
She got it through his cheek. That's yeah. impressive.
And nobody tried to just restrain the hanger arm. It's like, no, just hold the closet.
Why didn't they wrap the fucking closet door shut?
Exactly. There was a thing right there on the handle. And it's just like, that's another example of dumb kids. Like,
kids are the worst.
We should kill them.
The whole movie, these kids, they've been trying to kill you. And now you're just going to like chill out in this while she's behind this closet where she's already proven that she's like close to breaking out. And we're just going to laugh about it. Like, you deserve the hanger then. That's what you get.
You hear that, fetuses? I hope my ex-girlfriend's new girlfriend keeps listening to this podcast.
But I think I also enjoy this because I've just seen a string of bad horror movies in theaters. And so it's just like, this is at least a better than them, even with all of its flaws.
Without getting into it too much for Mandy, I do appreciate that both these movies are kind of like attempts at schlocky, like 70s, 80 B movies. But yes. Like, with a budget and with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Well, Mom and Dad probably didn't even have that huge of a budget.
I think enough of a budget for Nicolas Cage.
Sure, but it was also like the beginning of him coming back, so he probably wasn't bringing in more than a couple mil.
Finally.
They just rented a house and like they got an Airbnb for a weekend.
Right.
And they're like, hey guys, check it out. I slapped together this script. And
that house probably was set up that way too, with all the dumb fucking stuff on the walls.
Oh yeah.
You didn't even have to do any
set
dressing.
That's suburbia to a T.
From a visual perspective, like, what do you think of this movie overall?
I think editing saved it. But I also love, I like the color palette that they used in it. I like a little bit of washed out.
Suburban look. It's yeah. like suburban lighting. Everything's just a little bit soft. And
I think it's a good contrast to Mandy in the sense that, like, Mandy is a visual art piece. And this is, like, a movie. Like, this is something you can watch at home. Mandy is something that was better in a theater or in a nice, like, big screen, complete darkness, just be immersed in that world. But Mom and Dad could just, you know, you could have commercial breaks on TBS and be cooking dinner and you'd catch everything important.
Yeah, that's pretty well put.
So you watch, okay, this is a slight offshoot. You watch a lot of horror movies. What would you say is one horror movie slightly better and one horror movie slightly worse than this? What are its neighbors?
Okay. That's a great question. Wow. Okay. I think something similar in vein, but kind of gives you like the violence that you want. It was that horror movie that came out, and I apologize, I don't remember the name. Mayhem. Steven Yeun is in it. It's The Office. I think Blumhouse produced it. Every employee has to like kill another employee to like move on to the next round. And to me, it works because it's similar in like visual. It's a little high pay, fast edit, you know, quick kills, lots of violence, but it ups the violence more because it's all adults. And and then slightly worse. I'll go with what was in theaters recently. I just saw Immaculate. That was long and boring, and the payoff was not good. So,
Mom and Dad is definitely shorter than okay. So, that's the bonus point.
But Immaculate does have umbilical cord biting off in it, so you do get that.
That's awesome.
Sorry, spoiler. I apologize. I shouldn't.
Yeah. I don't think there's a huge overlap of people who listen to our show and people who are going to care about a spoiler for Immaculate.
People who listen to our show and then actually watch movies. Like, nobody watches the movies we talk about.
You'd be surprised.
Nathan does. We do have a couple of friends, though, who don't listen to our podcast because they say they haven't watched the movie and they want to watch the movies first. And I'm like, you're never going to watch 64 Nick Cage movies.
Not a fucking chance.
That's a lot.
No. Like, we don't even want to do that, and we have.
We have done that. We've watched more than that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, this is going to be, we'll have something like 70 episodes by the time we're done with the bracket and some bonus episodes. So,
wow.
So yeah, we're in the thick of it for sure.
Do you have a prediction of what, do you all have your favorite front runners or what you think
I mean, without giving too much away, I think I've got a couple of like top dogs that I would be pretty satisfied to see make it all the way. Yeah. I don't think there's going to be one that I'm going to be like, fuck you.
Yeah, I've got maybe a top five, but I don't think there's some like really strong ones in some of the categories. I don't know. Yeah. I feel like some categories just are better vehicles for Nicolas Cage.
For sure. Like romantic the weird comedy category is not the best for him.
Sure.
Captain Crowley's Mandolin all the way, baby.
Oh, yeah. I enjoy that movie.
It's a good movie, but I cannot imagine that one making it.
It's fine if you're a fascist sympathizer.
We do live in America.
I just love Mondras, that dumb fuck. God. Getting shot in the ass by a cannon.
Yeah, Christian Bale. Be good. His best role.
It is probably his best role.
There's the butt stuff. We found it.
On the matrix of good movie, good cage, bad movie, bad cage, good, bad, bad, good, where would you put this movie and this Nicolas Cage performance?
I would say this is average for him. I think this is pretty Nicolas Cagey, but he didn't go. He had a few moments, you know, a few eye looks or things, but I think he could have, as you were saying, he could have even gone further with his crazy. But it was an average good performance.
I think for me, I would put the movie as bad and his performance as square in the middle, mid, other than some of those like good snapshots of him getting blown up in slow-mo. Pretty fucking solid. Good face.
Now that's not an acting thing.
He's a feathered actor. He got blown up for real.
But like, so, you know, a bad and a mid, and I like this movie a lot. Like, I think it's fun and stupid, and it's an easy, short movie to watch.
Yeah,
could be shorter.
Could be. Or just faster. Just cut a little, like, move things along.
Faster, yeah.
Yeah, faster. I enjoyed this movie a lot more than I thought I would on the rewatch. Like, all the problems I remember having with it, I'm like, nah, this is just dumb fun. It's not a good movie, but it's a fun movie. So I put it on the leaning on the bad side of like fine. As for Nick Cage, I think he does some good work in this. I really like the crazy to like normal switch he does a few times. Mm-hmm. And he has worked with this director before and with Spirit of Vengeance, and he gave exactly what I think he was supposed to give for this movie. I think he did his job.
Joshy.
I think this is a bad movie and a bad take from Nicolas Cage. And that's not necessarily all his fault.
We're
I think it's
Primal,
just
Nick.
Primal's fucking gold. Primal, he had something to sink his teeth into. He had a like anything given to him for like a script. It's like, here's some dailies and we're just going to work through this and just give us whatever you want. I'm not going to bother directing you. Nothing felt like, I don't know, strong about his performance. Like, it was just like, I'm going to read the line and I'm going to do something. And that's how I'm going to collect my money today. I don't think he cared about it. I could be completely wrong. I'd be surprised if this is a role he cared about.
I watched some interviews from this one. He likes the director a lot.
He likes to interview and he likes to say positive things about the shows and movies he does.
It's true.
Because he wants people to watch them because that's how he gets paid.
It doesn't work for your career if you just dog shit all
over. Yeah, when you go out on a press tour and you start bagging on your job, people start wondering why they hired you.
Don't come watch this movie. It sucks. I didn't even
try. The Madam Web effect.
I think this comes down to a movie I wouldn't even recommend to somebody.
I would highly recommend this movie to people.
I would recommend.
This is why people don't talk to you, though.
No, there are a lot of reasons people don't talk to me.
It's high on the list. Mom and dad.
No, because people are always asking for like accessible horror too. Like, it's not too gory. It's not too scary. And it's got a familiar face. So, you know, you can be comfortable. But yeah, I would push this movie.
That's fine. I mean, you're only a guest for one night.
Great.
Well established that our guests have no power at all, but we still want their opinion.
Yes.
I mean, I can see why there would be an appeal for it. It's not a movie for me. Aside from a couple scenes in it where I'm like, oh, okay, that would have been cooler if they fleshed it out.
It could have used a couple more dead kids.
or it could have used like a bunch of old people breaking out at the end and like a big like everybody like get in the pit, like fucking in the middle, old people versus baby boomers.
Massive fight. That would have been cool.
Yeah. Like once we've established that like grandparents are fighting back.
Absolutely.
Then you like cut through because you don't want to spoil that. That was a good reveal.
Yeah.
It's just like the doors breaking down in an old folks home.
Yeah. Everybody's got like their Vietnam like trauma.
Yeah, that would
be syphilis because it's an old and folks home.
Yeah. It is rampant.
Old folks fuck.
That's how they kill you the slow way. Syphilis. They just come back and have sex with you.
Hopefully not parents having sex with their kids.
I was going to say, that takes a weirder angle with this movie.
Well, we got to stay kind of close to the core concept. Oh, I was really wondering, wouldn't this be an awesome way to find out you were adopted?
Well, yeah. That.
Like you just come home and like have a nice dinner with your no longer parents and or not so parents. It's like, oh shit, you know how everybody else is like killing?
Like if you didn't know you were adopted, how conflicted would you be if like you got home and your parents aren't trying to kill you?
I mean, I feel like I'd be pretty happy about not being dead, but I'd have some feelings.
Yeah. that would be terrible though, because like if you survive and you're just out in the world, there's someone out there who desperately wants to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
If they can find you.
And they might not even know why.
Yeah.
Just hope you don't have a public job like Weatherman.
You just see a picture of somebody. Why do I want to kill that person? I
really want to fuck that guy up.
That's just normal Weatherman feelings.
I mean, there are definitely people like that out there.
Yeah, true enough. Any final thoughts on this one?
It's a romp.
It's a romp.
A romp and a rump. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Mandy.
Nice. I like your new segues.
What's a segue?
Very clear.
I fucking love Mandy. I'm just gonna say that this movie is awesome.
It's terrific. I actually did exactly what you were talking about, and I watch it big screen with like the backlighting on the TV and all the lights off. Mm-hmm. And
oh, it's such a visual feast. It's
I fired up the volcano and I just got really into this movie.
Good.
And the scenes where like the cultist is like staring and he's on drugs and I'm on drugs and we're just doing this together.
Music. You're there. Yeah. You're vibing.
He's fucking failing at a tuck and pose, just Buffalo Billing all over my screen. It's with his like nose shaped dick.
I just
such a good movie.
I love the scene where he's like staring at you and he's doing his little dance and the beams of the house are like right behind his head to like be like beams coming out of his light.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Just mm-hmm. This movie is nice shot halo. So well. Like
This movie will always remind me of like heavy metal.
Yeah.
It's like a live action heavy metal.
Totally.
Right down to like Mandy is kind of like a druid lady and Nicolas Cage is a paladin who's just out there like on his crusade
making his
axe. Yeah.
So I'm glad you brought that up, because actually when I was watching this I was texting Sean, because this movie like it's grody to me. Like I don't super love it. I think it is a visual masterpiece, but I don't generally love like the storyline, the grossness of it. I was thinking like, fuck, I kind of wish this were like a really, really intense animated movie, like something like that, where you can just go fucking wild, take the same visual concepts, but just like take it to that next level because of animation. And that to me is kind of like where it hits the sweet spot for me. This one, like watching Mandy's boring face, like pulsing in and out for fucking an hour. I'm not into it. It doesn't do it for me.
I love that slow build. I don't know why. Yeah, nothing really happens.
You do have to be in the right mind.
Hour, but it goes and like.
I mean, things are happening.
Yeah,
there's plot points hitting hard the whole time, but he doesn't start killing people. He doesn't fight back.
Yeah, the thing I noticed is, you have that hour. And then he goes, gets the crossbow and the axe, and then you get the Mandy title card, and then it's just him in the pickup. And I'm like, you could start the movie here, and it would still be amazing.
But I would have preferred that.
I love an hour of just the protagonist being just beaten down physically and emotionally, and like the audience is feeling shitty.
Yeah.
And then it's like, finally you get that moment of resistance and fighting back. And it's like, fuck yeah, let's do this. I'm here with you.
I'm not saying that's how you should do the movie. I'm saying this could be a separate film and it still would just go hard.
Yeah.
And I love too that even at that halfway mark, after he gets his weapons, we feel like he's on his, you know, he's going to go fuck some people up. He gets fucked up like immediately. And it's like, okay, nope, he's still not invincible. Like,
still just a dude.
It's going to be a struggle. Yeah. So,
all the drugs.
All of them.
He does set out on his crusade, starting off by like slamming half a bottle of vodka.
Yeah. That's true.
So it's no wonder that like his initial like endeavors fail.
Yeah.
Man, I want some of that weird, like gross dark Vaseline
the
drugs.
Demon semen.
Give me some of that shit, man. Like
turns the world into a cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to fuck with that.
It gives you cool like Indiana Jones face melting skills.
Right. Any of you watched Beyond the Black Rainbow?
No, I still need to see it.
I say that I'm going to about every 3 weeks, and I still haven't done it.
I really want to watch it. I watched the trailer for it, and it was like right up against me watching this movie, and I was like, I'm not going to watch that right now.
Yeah, it's another visual.
Yeah. I actually thought it was the same DP, but it's a different guy. So that was kind of shocking. Hmm. This DP, though, also did Dream Scenario, which was kind of interesting. Oh. Fun fact.
Yeah, we should watch Beyond the Black Rainbow at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. And The Core.
And The Core.
Brian, have you seen The Core?
I love The Core.
The Core fucking rules.
The
it's
Core
so
is
good.
Terrific.
The Core is so good.
I have to watch this movie.
Oh, you've never seen it?
I've never seen The Core.
Sean's never seen it.
Oh, you know the premise though, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I showed him the orange being sprayed on fire, so he gets it.
That's all you need to know.
I was working at Hollywood Video in Chanhassen, Minnesota when that movie came out. And so when it came, we could rent it. I was just like, wow, this is quite a premise. And what a cast, though. I mean,
it's incredible. You got the Tooch.
Yeah.
Gotta love
Stanley
Tucci.
So you know
it's going to
be big.
Absolutely. Aaron Eckhart.
Everything he Tooches is gold.
Yeah. I think Hilary Swank thought she was going to get a third Oscar, probably.
Oh my God. Yeah.
That was just for us.
DJ Qualls, everybody. They got everybody.
DJ
in
Qualls. Dude, I ran into DJ Qualls recently.
Really?
How's he doing?
Yeah, he was, he was at a bar, I think, in Sherman Oaks doing like karaoke.
Cool.
Fuck yeah.
He wasn't participating, but he was there with some friends and it was like, oh, wow. Yeah, I think he's great and everything.
So. Yeah, and DJ Qualls is one of those celebrities that, like, you don't see that guy out and you're like, maybe that's DJ Qualls.
Right. No.
He's got a face.
He sure does. And he's tall, too, right?
Yes, taller than me. 5'8", so he's at least 5'9", 5'10".
One thought I had watching this film, Peter and I were kind of texting about it because Peter was like, this isn't for me, and I'm just on a fucking ride, and I'm just like, all right, how can I describe this film in a way that really, like, maybe it'll get it across? The first thing is I love weird cosmic horror. I'm not a big fan of gore unless it's like Evil Dead hyper violence. It's where it goes from the point of like I'm uncomfortable with
the amount of blood,
you know, that looks too real, to just like it's so stupidly over the top that I'm like, that could never happen.
Yeah.
And this movie rides more of the gross line for me, but I'm here for it. And I think it's because it starts to get into that weird, maybe demons, maybe, you know, looking past the veil and him becoming like mad, which is just my jam for horror. And the other thought I had was, this is kind of a weird dissection of like the slasher film. You have the hippies who are all into drugs and bad things and they have to be punished, and the monster is just one they created.
Yeah.
And all the classics: axe, chainsaw, crossbow.
Oh, chainsaw fight, so good.
It felt to me like it was a giant Dungeons and Dragons campaign of like, this is just people making this story up as they go, and they're like talking, and then blood spewed everywhere, man, and then he chopped this guy's head off, and he got in the car, and there was flame, and there was tigers.
Their
faces melted. Like, yeah. I think for me, violence, when it's merited, I don't, you know, depending on what you're trying to get at, like, Saw, to me, I think the first one was important for the genre, but now that we're on, like, 13 or 14 or whatever, I think it's kind of jumped the shark, and even, you know, but like this, it is over the top, but it feels within the world of the art that it's created. Yeah. Like, you know, it doesn't feel for me gratuitous. It just feels that it's visually like, yes, you need to be covered in blood so the red lights can bounce off of your red skin, and we get this stunning visual, and then the whites of your eyes pop. So we really see that Nicolas Cage crazy. Like that one look he does after he snaps the neck of the one drug dealer. It's bug eyed. I was like, that is classic Nick Cage right there.
Yeah.
Has the Saw film had a shark trap yet?
A shark trap?
Like, have they done a shark in a Saw film? Have they jumped the shark, actually?
Like, is the way to get out of the danger to jump over a shark?
Yeah.
I hope so.
I don't think so. I don't. Not yet.
Okay,
someone call Chris Rock.
Yeah,
I have to ask you about one of my favorite horror sequels, and I don't.
Yes,
I don't watch a lot of horror movies.
I hope I've seen it after I've said how many I watch.
God, I know already what this is going to be.
So, Human Centipede 2.
Oh wow, I've seen the trilogy.
Yes. Okay, I have not seen the third one, but
you don't need to.
I didn't think I needed to after I watched the second one, because it truly had peaked at that point.
Oh,
and both
God.
Being like super meta, and just like the results seem obvious from the get-go.
Yeah,
he's a security guard. He's stapled mouths to buttholes. People are dying. Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
what a great movie review.
It gives you what you want.
You've gotten a lot better at succinctly like breaking down a film.
But that ending, that end, like that's again another baby end. Like it, that's fucked up. Like that's to me, I was like, too much. We really, but in this, you know, in that universe, there isn't too much, I guess. You know, it's actually, now that I think about it, I'm surprised number 4 hasn't randomly been, like, teased that it's coming. Because it's been a while since 3 came out.
Yeah, the people need more Human Centipede.
Bigger. Longer.
It's pretty... Oh, God. I mean...
Centipedier.
On some... number 2, actually, like, I do like it as a sequel, as in, how do you do a follow-up to the first one? Like, I think it's an interesting meta storyline involving the security guard, which I think is, you know, pretty smart on his end. But Tom 6? Yeah, it just gets twisted from there.
The Human Centipede movie gets twisted, guys.
Oh, God. Do you know what number 3 is about?
I don't.
My succinct
is it in an airplane?
Summary of it. No.
Centipede on planes?
It's in a men's prison at a correctional facility.
Oh, hell yeah.
And a warden decides to put the practice.
I bet the scenes in the exercise yard were so good. Like, oh, left.
It's
it's
definitely the longest human centipede.
Oh, hell yeah. The human millipede.
I think that's what, actually, I think that might be part of it. I think he tried to get like 100. I think that was a goal.
Okay, guys, I'm going to write Human Centipede 4. Apparently, yes! I have the mindset for it. This is just my new job. So goodbye, electrician. Hello, centipede.
Even if it doesn't get made, as long as you sell it.
For real.
This is going to be a field of dreams. If you build it, they will come. So guys, I'm glad you're here. I brought some tape and a stapler.
Mark, what are our calendars?
We're starting now.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
One of our friends went to college with somebody who wrote like Sharknado or like Lava Shark versus something, and just like makes residuals off of that all the time.
That's incredible. Wow. Yeah. That's the American dream. Passive income like that.
Absolutely. Every year you just get a check for like no reason. It's like, I did that.
And that's actually one thing I've learned since moving to LA, is just having to just be less precious about needing to actually write anything to completion. You can just sell an idea. Tornadoes, with sharks.
I don't do anything to completion.
That's called edging.
Yeah. You need a good elevator.
Okay. Pitch. You all know my beef with Sharknado.
Oh. I don't recall your beef with Sharknado.
Is it
Tara Reid?
Like so, meteorologically.
One of my favorite
sound.
College classes was Bad Science at the Movies. And it was just about
that sounds cool.
We watched
went to art school.
I went to art college. where we watched
if you couldn't tell
science fiction films, and our teacher, who was like a geologist, would just pause the movie and just rant at us about how none of the science made sense. It was a hoot.
Oh, you're gonna fucking love The Core.
I'm surprised we never watched The Core now that I think about it. Also, you know what, we might have, because we didn't actually watch the full movie. She would just skip around to scenes to yell at us about the science. But the final
was your college accredited?
Yes.
How?
Art school. Man, I can accredit something.
Yeah. So our final project was to pitch our own Bad Science movie. And New York had just had that hurricane and the city was flooded. So I came up with Gator Cane.
A
movie about a hurricane hitting New York, getting all the gators out and going to town. 2 years later, Sharknado's a thing.
I mean, you could probably still push Gator Cane.
You could sell that. Easy.
Not after this podcast, because someone else is going to do it before my lazy ass does.
Yeah, it's Nick.
No, I'm balls deep in Human Centipede 4
Not
right
yet.
Now.
You will be, though.
I've been actually working up a script, like a quick outline.
As I was talking.
Sake. Yeah. Man has podcast, decides to centipede, goes too far.
That's a good three act.
Yeah.
That's what I was signing my NDA for.
Yeah.
Goes too far.
Yeah. Goes right. too far.
So with Mandy, like what's your favorite part from this movie? Like each of you just go for it.
The chainsaw fight's pretty badass.
Boy, chainsaw cool. fight's really cool.
I just, the whole thing is such just a visual treat, and it just, it turns into a cartoon at times.
Yeah, quite literally, yeah.
All of it, yeah. That's what I meant literally a cartoon. And the animation looks very much like heavy metal.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what really gets me, is like the structure of it is my favorite part. I know that's not like a scene.
It's still a thing to like about a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. The wall of color.
Yeah.
Just constant, saturation.
I'm having a hard time picking one thing that I like about it because I love all of it.
Yeah, I agree.
Why don't you prime us? Give us yours and we'll steal it. We'll edit you out and say, this was my favorite part.
Yeah, good thing we have an individual track for you.
I think it's just so beautiful. I mean, you do have to be in the right mindset. Like if you're looking for something fast and fun and furious, it's not this. Like you do have to settle into a world. Mm-hmm. And again, like we were saying, I think it helps when you set your own atmosphere. But once you're there, man, oh my God, like it's almost like you're on a psychedelic with them.
Yeah.
And because it's just the visual is such a feast all the time. And it just seems so classic of a story, you know?
Mm.
Bad people come in, kill your wife. It's like Gladiator, but on like shrooms.
They want your wife, and she cocaine. Laughs at their penis. And
yeah.
Murder ensues.
I like
they don't even just kill her, they fucking burn her in a sleeping bag.
Yeah, and in front of him.
Oh.
I love how when she starts laughing at him, his first reaction is just start masturbating frantically.
So
yes,
okay.
Well, he's
a
grower, not a shower.
Right. There's a couple scenes that really stand out.
He thought he was
me.
A shower.
I love Cheddar Goblin.
Cheddar Goblin.
Yes, Cheddar Goblin.
And I love the Jeremiah Sand song. It's so fucking bad, and it's incredible.
So your favorite parts are the comedy parts that take you out of the movie, which is fine.
Because I think they're there to add
a little bit of like leavening to like give you an emotional break from the
Absolutely.
Movie.
Yeah, I think it's to remind you that it's like all the violence that's about to come. It's okay.
Well,
like,
even beyond that,
it's a breather.
Still a comedy.
There's like snapshots of violence that stand out too. It's like the dude, the fucking mouth breathing, window rolling up and down.
Oh my God.
Taking the axe to the dome. Like the visual of that is really like impressive.
Like, I love that his death is just as funny as his life. Like, I love him just playing with the windows and like the obvious irritation that Brother Swan has with it all. And then like when he's dying, he's just like drying off his car after he washes it. And then he gets like a non-fight. Yeah. It's just the axe comes out of the air and kills him. And that's it. That's all and he that's merited.
It. Yep.
I love it. I love all of it. I can't.
Yeah. I think my favorite part might be the allowances for the supernatural in this world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the little demon ocarina. I love the
horn of Abraxas.
Yeah.
The ocarina of grime.
Yeah. Oh, all right. That's pretty good.
The cool little like dagger, and I love that these supernatural like artifacts have a cool strobing green light when you present them.
Yes,
it's, I mean, it's so like weird,
so much attention to detail.
Yeah, it, but it's like, this is part of the world. It's like, did you bring the horn of Abraxas? Oh, I did bring the horn of Abraxas.
Also, I also love a Galactus shout out in anything.
Oh yeah.
So in the again, in the matrix of a good movie, good cage, bad movie, bad cage, good, bad, bad, good. Where do you slot Mandy and Nick Cage?
Good movie, good Nicolas Cage. Great movie, even.
Yeah, I'm right up there with you. Like his performance in this, he doesn't say a lot, but he does a lot with that. Him chugging bathroom vodka in his tidy whiteys and that awesome tiger shirt.
Yeah, his emotions are like out there. I got permission to have a life-size replica of the axe to put above my Nicolas Cage Blu-ray collection.
So we're
it's only $300.
So
oh, that's nothing.
I know.
So
I looked it up immediately.
Oh my god, yes, get it. I support that.
Nick and I have discussed at the end of this we have to get like commemorative tattoos from something Nick Cage related, and I think I'm going to get the axe.
Oh yeah.
Ooh.
I'm still pushing the fake teeth from Vampire's Kiss.
That's a great one.
That's also really good.
All right, so Nick, what do you think?
I think this is an outstanding movie and a terrific performance. I think everything that he brings in lieu of like a vocal performance, like all of his just like super on point reactions and emotions are just they blow me away. Like the way he connected, like Panos must have done just a terrific job communicating with Cage about what he wanted the role to be, because it just gets me. It's terrific. Even the scenes that are like purely Nicolas Cage, like in the car when he's covered in gore and he's just like staring over, and it's like, that's...
Do you think the acid scene from Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent is a little wink to that, the back and forth? It's a very specific shot. I'd like to think it is. I like to think it's
The camera shot?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see it also as like, there's only so many ways to film an interaction between two people in the front of a car.
That's fair.
Get it.
We've seen Drive Angry.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've turned the corner on this movie overall. I do think that it is probably a great. I do think that I don't like it.
Fair.
That is fine.
Yeah. Like, I don't think it's for me, but I do respect it for the art of it, for the insanity of it, for the performance of it.
How did you view it?
Sitting alone in a chair in my living room, with the lights on a laptop. So
Peter made every wrong choice.
I have watched it in a more cinematic way before. The first time I watched it was a little more cinematic, and it still didn't tickle me. But
fair.
You know,
fair.
That's a good point, though. I mean, I think so. Part of the experience for me in this round two that we're in 32 down to 16, watching movies with people enhances my experience of it. I think that I gain more from having that live interaction of laughing at some absurdist shit in Mom and Dad, or marveling at a visual freeze frame from Mandy. You know, that it's much more fun for me to watch it with someone.
So next time we'll provide a like film party for you.
Fuck
yeah. I was
going
to say, and that's a beautiful pitch for why we should go to the theaters and watch movies. And
Peter, if you were lonely, you can just tell us. You don't have to, like, draw it out.
Listen,
like,
it took me 43 episodes to say it. I'm lonely.
You have to pretend you don't like good movies. I don't know if I get this one, guys. Can you just come over and, like,
with me?
Yeah.
You had your choice. So nice. You had a child.
Okay, so I am part of the sad lads. Sort of asked and answered, but, you know, one movie advances in our bracketology style.
One movie must fall.
Yeah. So, Brian, as the guest, you get to go first, but your opinion doesn't matter. So you can say whatever the fuck you want.
Well, I do think in this instance, I will probably end up agreeing with the hosts and the producer. I think it's Mandy that should move on. But I'm glad to know that Mom and Dad made it this far, because it is definitely above the halfway mark of his.
I would agree with that.
It's an opinion.
Outside of, like, adaptation, I can't think of anything that hasn't gone past the first round that I would have, like, put this behind.
Primal.
No.
Primal's so good.
It's not.
You're sleeping on Primal. I think you watched it on the wrong day.
I watched it twice, and both times I could not.
That was back when you were still drinking, though.
It's fair.
You got to watch it now when you can actually enjoy it.
I said I'd sit down and watch it with you.
I know. It's going to be good. I'm planning the whole event. There's going to be, like, sparkling cider and rose petals. And a staple gun, yeah, and some duct tape.
Just bring your butthole.
Yeah, that's all you gotta bring.
The prologue to Human Centipede 4.
So yeah, Mandy, I think.
I'm full Mandy, yeah.
You've got a full Mandy right now.
Full Mandy.
Yeah, so next episode we've got Con Air and Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance. And a special guest, Chris Coffell of Film School Rejects. So that'll be a fun one.
Fun.
Yeah. Good times. Brian, thank you for being here.
Yeah, this was
thank
really
you
nice.
For having
yeah,
me.
Yeah, this was great.
If you are interested in being on the Slicksteen, which is the next part of the bracket, let us know.
Obviously.
It only gets sexier from here.
Yeah, Slicksteen to
love
the Master
it.
8.
Oof.
Did we settle on Final Foreskin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I don't know what the championship is going to be.
And then just boring ass normal sex.
Missionary.
Face to face, looking at each other and really feeling it.
Oh, God.
Lights on.
It's going to be that weird blowjob from Joe.
What's your favorite color? Okay. I got to go.
Yeah, Brian, anything that you want to promote, pitch, shout out?
I'm in this weird karaoke competition thing, but it's Karaoke Knockout. I thought I was signing up for literally a one night type of thing. Turns out it's a 2 month engagement.
And still just one paycheck.
Oh, yeah. And you have to make it through all these rounds. And it's basically a giant popularity contest. But I've been very fortunate to have good friends and good supporters that have gotten me through what I believe will be this first major cut through the group round. I'll move on to the semifinals, but all of the votes reset. So, what does it get me? $10,000 if I make it all the way to the end and I sing in LA for some karaoke. And I will use that money to film a documentary in South Korea with two of my friends who, the three of us, we're Korean adoptees. And coincidentally, this year's karaoke competition is benefiting an adoption organization, helpusadopt.org. So it seems the universe is putting everything in alignment for me. It also feels that this is my year of reality competition winning. So I think it's just going to happen, you know, manifest it, the secret. So karaokeknockout.org/Brian-Kim-McCormick. I think that's how you get to me. I'm not sure.
Peter will
if I didn't, I apologize.
We'll
figure it out. Yes, thank you. I appreciate it. But yeah, that's the pitch.
Just Brian and I would have survived Mom and Dad.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Oh, I would have definitely. Unless Jackie Chan, this you might have to cut, but I don't know. Jackie Chan is potentially my father. So, you know, I don't know that I'd want him trying to come off after and try to kill me. But
hold on. Is that something your mom told you, like, growing up? Like, Jackie Chan was your father?
Long story made short.
Take as much time as you want on this.
Oh, great. Well, I was a Korean adoptee. I came out of Seoul. I came here at 3 months old, and my whole life I just associated being Korean. But many, many, many people have said that I look like Jackie Chan, including white, Asian, all people. I've been chased down streets. I've been chased at casinos. I've been asked for autographs. I've been asked to take pictures. It's just been there my whole life. And so then I was working as an accountant in New York as one of my survival jobs. And in that pool was a Chinese woman who told me that Jackie Chan had been like in love with a South Korean woman for like almost a decade, but felt like he couldn't marry her because he wasn't, you know, they were living in two different countries. He was poor. He wasn't famous yet. So and it was like right around the same time that I was magically born. And then so he wrote a memoir, and he I was going to wait for his autograph at the Barnes & Noble in Union Square. And I was going to grab his water bottle and I was going to run out the store. Problem is with that store, though, is this book signing is up on like the third floor, and the only way to do it is escalators.
Yeah, you got to Jackie Chan your way out of
it. Yeah,
there.
Jackie Chan your way out of it.
I would have Jackie Chan my way out of it.
Problem is then you got Jackie Chan and after you.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
God, right? And then you got him coming. But he ended up canceling his session because I believe his wife found out about all of the women he slept with through the memoir. I don't think he privied her to that. Prior to the book. At least that's what my brain reminds me.
Who am I forgetting to tell about all the illicit affairs?
Well, it didn't have to be affairs. I mean, it could have been before marriage.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Who marries like an international film star and says he probably kept it in his pants?
And then I did a DNA test and it came back that I have like 40 something Korean, 30 something Chinese, and the rest is Japanese.
You hear that, Jackie Chan?
Right? It's possible. But so, yeah, that's the story about my potentially famous
father. I fucking love that. That is a terrific
story.
That is a
good story.
That was better than my lazy attempt at making another dead parent joke.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
Yeah, you can.
You're welcome.
You can beat that dead horse till the day you die.
Terrible.
That's a good episode. I'm enjoying myself.
Well, I will definitely vote for you so long as you do not sing Sweet Caroline. The moment you sing Sweet Caroline, votes are out the door.
Great. I will not.
Thank you.
So good. No worries on that.
I will only vote for you if you sing Sweet Caroline.
So it's a net neutral. You still got my vote.
Okay. Thank you. There we go.
plus one.
There we go.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. Brian, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You guys can find us on social media, CageMatchPod, Cage_Match_Pod. You'll find us one way or the other.
Found you yet?
He's right here.
No.
Nicholas.
Oh,
sorry.
No.
Yeah.
He's got better things to do.
No, he doesn't seem to really do a lot of interaction with online
with his
anything
like brand.
Yeah. That's unfortunate.
It is. It's kind of too bad. I mean, it'd be really fun to be able to play into that.
No, we're just going to continue trying to stalk him through bars and stuff we know he goes to.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to find him. Yeah.
I believe in you.
Yeah, if you want to help fuel our Nick Cage meeting adventures, we are on Patreon at Cage Match. Thank you to our current supporters, Josh, Sean, Josie, Rico, Matt, and Adam, and our Cage dancers, Ira, John, Freeman, Lance, and Nathan. We really appreciate you guys, and we do have a Signal chat now for the Cage dancers.
Oh, yeah. We got to just move to Discord. Everybody Discords.
We should Discord. We'll Discord.
We'll Discord. I do want to just also keep this kind of meta narrative going, where last time I shouted out Nathan for joining that exclusive club of friends who text me things I say on my own podcast. And this week I get a text from Nathan. Sean, Nathan has joined the exclusive club of someone who randomly messaged me quotes from our podcast.
So yeah, double dip on that one, Nathan.
Love you, buddy. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
good Galactus work. I love
Galactus, big Vor guy.
Yeah, actually. Who were we describing? Were we describing Vor to John?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, last episode we were trying to explain Vor to everyone. Brian, are you familiar with Vor?
People being eaten.
Yeah, but eaten whole is the big part of it.
Eaten whole. Oh, I didn't know there was that specification.
Which makes it entirely impossible. So
yeah,
it's a really dumb fetish.
That's going to be the twist at the end of Human Centipede 4. The ass eats everybody else.
Human Centipede 4.
The most ass eating you can legally put in a rated NC-17 movie. They're going to draw a line with how much ass eating I put in this movie.
You're going to have debates with them and they're going to be like, take one ass eating out. Just one. And you're like, no, it's my art.
I can't do it. Each and every one of them is important to my story.
That's right.
This is my lived experience.
You are a millennial.
You will not silence me.